Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
She went sub 49, like not many athletes in the world have ever done that, you know? So it's just fantastic running.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy.
Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
You're very welcome along. It is the Hurling Pod. It's only a few days out as we record ahead of our first live show of the year. Unfortunately, if you didn't get tickets for Dolan's, you won't be able to now. It's entirely sold out. We got a few extra tickets. They moved the seats around. They went in a few minutes. I've never known a roadshow to go as quickly as it has. So, unfortunately, if you want to see me, James Skell, Paul Murphy, you're going to have to probably wait until the next roadshow unless you've got your tickets. If there's anyone who's got tickets and they can't go on Wednesday, by all means, get in contact with us and we'll pass them on to people, because I've had a few DMs from people going, I thought they were going to last a bit longer. I was waiting to see how many tickets my mates needed. Didn't quite get our hands on it. So if you want to come and see us in Limerick, hold tight. Maybe there might be some people that will stick them up that aren't able to go. And if you're not able to go, get in contact and we'll pass the tickets on to someone else. It's all, of course, helping out Focus Ireland as well. So delighted to say we've been able to sell this one out. And on the pitch of the weekend just gone by, ahead of that roadshow, where we will be looking ahead to the All-Ireland quarterfinals in the company of the great Sean O'Gohalpy, we're going to have Podge Collins with us, and we're going to have Leo O'Connor as well, to look forward to next week. The lineup is complete for those quarterfinals after the preliminary quarterfinals in the weekend. Wexford and Cork, as expected, going through into the last six now. Lee Chin, he scored 11 points as Wexford returned from their three-week break to defeat Laois and Portlaoise by 12 points, setting up that clash with Clare next weekend. While it was a score fest in Tullamore, with Cork ultimately coming out on top by 9 points against the Joe McDonagh Cup champions Offaly, 1-10 for Patrick Horgan. Next up for the Rebels is a quarter-final against Dublin. And we're probably going to have to wait a little bit to find out when those games are going to be played. So at time of recording, the report certainly from John Fogarty was the latest that we had seen. I'd heard that Wexford had straight away put in an application not to play the game next Saturday. It's down as a doubleheader at the moment for Semple Stadium. But the Fela is in Wexford next weekend. So Wexford are seeking to get the games moved to Sunday. So it looks like Central Council will now be discussing the idea of flipping football and hurling around next weekend, because the Tailteann Cup semi-finals and the hurling quarter-finals are down to be shown on RTE. And the idea would be that the hurling would now go back to Sunday and the Tailteann Cup semi-finals would come forward to Saturday potentially. But it's going to be Sunday afternoon. We're recording a little bit earlier this week when that's going to be discussed, because they're going to have to wait until the Laois and Kildare game finishes on Sunday afternoon to see if the Tailteann Cup semi-finalists can move around. So it's all a little bit messy, but we'll see what happens. But the appeal has certainly gone in from Wexford to try and move the two hurling games back to Semple Stadium on Sunday afternoon instead. Delighted to say, the two men who will be with me in Dolan's midweek, Paul Murphy, how are you?
How's it going, lads?
James Skell, how are you?
Tremendous.
That sets the scene. Before we talk about the games themselves, Gail, what do you think about the idea of moving these around for next weekend? Do Wexford have a strong case if their officials are going to be tied up next Saturday with the failure that it makes sense to move it back to Sunday?
If you're putting it on the shoulders of the officials only, I'd say get on with it. To be honest, look, I can maybe come across a little bit harsh in this instance here, right? But I think we're probably overstating their importance, especially as the game is in a neutral venue. It's not being held in Wexford. It was in Thurles. What do you need? Only the players and the management. You know what I mean? But I can understand the request. Look, it's a big flagship weekend. The failure doesn't come around to counties very often. So if there's if there's acceptance on behalf of all the football crowd for the Tailteann situation, then sure, logic would say to move it.
Yeah, that's the difficulty, Murph. There's a lot of moving parts here. Well, in theory, this seems like a easy enough swap where you switch the two codes around. They're all on TV anyway. Does playing on Saturday or Sunday make all that much of a difference, given that the hurling teams played their games today and three of the Tailteann Cup quarterfinals were played today? But you could well see Laois or Kildare tomorrow go, well, look, we're just off the pitch on Sunday. We don't particularly want to play on Saturday afternoon coming. We're planning everything around Sunday to Sunday. And they could well hold this all up by saying, we don't want to switch.
Yeah, they could. But if they do, like Skell was saying there, does it really make a huge difference? And they're probably entitled to it at the same time. Like, maybe they've been planning, they have training plans around when they're going to be playing. They were forecast that this was going to be the fixture. Look, to be honest, either way, whatever the result of this, whatever decision comes of it, I don't think it's anything too drastic, really. It's obviously a mild inconvenience, I suppose, to put it that way, for Wexford. Fair play to them hosting the Fela, and I'm sure they have a lot of people involved, but it's not going to completely derail any plans they have that if the match goes ahead on Saturday. It's just the nature of it clashing. And it's probably no more different than if a dual county had codes clashing on the same day. Like, I mean, there's you're splitting resources there and different things. So look, if it, like that, if the game was, as Skettle was saying, if the game was on in Wexford Park or something to that effect, you can understand, but it's on in Thurles. So look, I think whatever result comes from this, I don't think there should be much of a storm made about it.
No, I think they'll find a solution easily enough on this. And I suppose if worst comes to worst, they stick with what they have, and you'll have the hurling on the Saturday and you'll have the football on the Sunday. Good news if you're a Cork hurling fan getting ready for the Dublin game, that's going to be an RTE. If you're a Cork football fan, prepare for game number 7 on GA Go for this year. Certainly very good value if you picked up a subscription early in the year. Both their games are on GA Go today. A massive Cork crowd descended on Tullamore. Glenisco Connor Park was a sea of red, with a few Offaly fans around and a few Tyrone fans around for the football game. And ultimately, big, big win for Cork, but Offaly battled quite well. I'm intrigued to get the guys' opinions on this, because Patrick Horgan now is 11 points away from becoming the first player to score 700 championship points. TJ Reid's just one away, but he doesn't play till the semi-finals. So Patrick Horgan could get to 700 before TJ Reid plays again if he gets 11 against Dublin. Just the 110 for him this afternoon in Tullamore. Very good performance, I thought, overall from Cork. Definitely in stages, they were really, really good. But at the same time, 15 minutes to go, there's a sliding doors moment in this game where it's a 6-point lead for Cork. Ocean Kelly, who had already batted in a goal, goes through. Collins makes a good save. And within a minute of play, the aforementioned Patrick Horgan is putting the ball into the net after a 1-2 with Hayes up at the other end. And then Cork kind of kick on. And there's a bit of a gloss on the scoreline because of the two late goals that Offaly got to bring their total to 319. Jack Clancy and Killian Sampson scoring those goals late on. But, Skell, if Kelly hits the net as opposed to Collins saving it at that point, and it goes back to 3 points with Offaly in the ascendancy, it could have tested Cork a little bit more at that point.
I think it would have put certainly some more pressure on them. And even if you're going back to the first half when he got his opportunity as well, which was a fabulous save. But I always ask forwards when those type of shots are taken and saved, is it a poor shot or a great save? And I think in this instance, I think if he had his time again, he'd stick it on the deck. Now, I understand he was close to goal. It could be tricky in terms of, you know, as they always say, a level of difficulty to get low. But if that goes low, like, Collins has no chance. And in the second one, the second half rather, he's a bit more distance out. I can understand he's going for power, but again, the probability of scoring goes up if you put the ball on the deck, unless you're really, really close. And ultimately, the ball was saved. Collins did his job, travels up the pitch. A really nice, kind of, I won't say a fancy move, but a real, I would say, cutthroat move from Cork, ends up 3 points. And it's a big, they call it the 6-point turnaround, so that was the case. And you just don't know what way the game would have gone. I suppose from our perspective as neutrals, we had the kind of the overriding assumption that Cork were going to win regardless of what Offaly threw at them. But if Offaly could have executed a few more of those couple of those goal chances and some of the shots on the stand side as well in the second half particularly, you just don't know what would happen. Now, I understand that the goals at the end probably put a small bit of a gloss on the scoreline as a whole, but Cork didn't have it all their own way. And it wasn't a case of, see, some people will look at Cork and say, oh, they played really poor patches. I would class now that as being half correct. Offaly played really good. Offaly played better this week, in my opinion, than they did last week.
Oh, so
they were far more clinical. The ball was sticking, you know, in terms of their touch work, in terms of picking the ball, even everything was first time. And some of the moves they created were really impressive. And the more I watch this Dan Bourke, the more I'm saying this guy is going to be a household name, not even into the not too distant future. We're talking about next year. Like, he caused problems for what you class as a seasoned senior intercounty team. So he looks like a guy that's going to be pulling strings for for Offaly in years to come. And I think if you're, you know, even looking at you, Will, here, the Offaly public, this has been an overriding positive year for everyone, I think. You've won the two competitions you partook in, and you've acquitted yourself really well. Now, granted, the scoreline at the finish is better than what it could have been. Cork, though, there was real questions asked. I think from your perspective, again, I spoke last week about Limerick and Clare. If you remember the jewels, how many jewels did Clare win? I went none. But Offaly won, you know, 6 or 7 jewels today. Really did. And there was changes forced upon Pat Ryan, like moving Fitzgibbon into the half forward line. Do you know what I mean? Replacing forwards, etc. That was, I suppose, an accumulation of work done by Offaly at the back. And they had the Cork forwards in trouble. So I think, I hate to use the word proud or you know, honourable performance, but like, I was very impressed with Offaly today. And it's great for the game. I know I'm talking holistically here, but next year and going forward, they'll be re-contributors to the Leinster Championship.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, that is exactly what Jason Sampson, their captain, said after the game as well. It was the goal for next season now needs to be to take points from some of the teams in the Leinster Championship. That's what would represent progress for next year. But, like, even progress over the course of a few months, Murph. So, Cork, and it was the day that Alan Connolly really announced himself with the first hat-trick of the season. They scored 5.28 against Offaly that day. It was probably Offaly's worst performance. Last year after the McDonagh Cup final, and I appreciate it's a different circumstance when you come in as the losing team in the final as opposed to the winning team in the final, but Tipperary ripped them to shreds at the same venue last year. Despite the fact that Cork will walk away from that game having scored 4.25, it wasn't a hammering of that nature at all this afternoon.
No, I mean, it wasn't. Like, you were texting into the group saying this, it doesn't feel like a 12-point difference, or maybe it's unfair 12 points, but I think the 12 points now is what 6 points used to be about 20 years ago. Like, as in, it's easier to get to 12 points these days, and particularly when, because teams are set up so well and they move the ball so well, when your team starts to get a bit leggy and a bit tired and the cracks start to open. And, like, I mean, at the end of the day, Cork are in a really good position at the moment. Like, we're building these lads up to potentially have a good crack at Limerick. So the expectation is that if you get tired last 10 minutes, you know, they should be able to open you up realistically. But, you know, going back to what you were saying about after last year with the McDonagh, it's a completely different performance from Offaly. And I'd agree with you, coming in as winners is completely different as well. That momentum you have, that good feeling you have, like that's worth an extra 10 or 20% in the legs nearly, like, you know, because you're in this kind of mood where you're after winning a few games, you won your most important game, this is bonus territory. So you're kind of going out there saying, well, listen, we have a free swing at Cork here now, let's go out and perform. Where the feeling would be different going playing Tipperary last year. But I also think what's important is, a lot of these younger players have had a year to come on that little bit more. Like, even Brian Dignan as well. Like, I mean, okay, he's not one of the players we're talking about, like, with the under-20s and things, but even him, like, his game has really improved as well. And you go back and you think about the league where Cork really gave a drubbing to Wexford, to Offaly. The thing for Offaly now is they're in a great place at the moment, but hurling stops now for Offaly here. They're going to come back in and they're going to play in the league next year, and they're probably, not to say they're going to ship one or two beatings, but their momentum isn't going to carry straight back into that league. They're going to have to go back in, find their feet again. And as Samson was saying there, like, you know, they want to take a few points off in the round robin off the teams in Leinster next year. That's the goal. But in order to get back to there, they're going to have to go out, get into the league, put in a few performances. Some won't go well, some will go well. It's you're going to have your mixed bag. But to peak then for the round robin phase, that's what's going to be important for Offaly. But I can already see in 12 months how this team has grown a huge amount. And that is off the back of not just winning the Joe McDonagh, but also winning the under-20s. All that really helps. But another extra year for a lot of these younger players, again, that's going to be huge. And I saw a lot of indications why Offaly can really build on their last, or let's say the last 12 months, where they can really build on that over the next 12 months, because their gameplay today was really good. And there's lots of stuff they're doing so well. They're very calm on the ball. So many of the players understood the position, understood their role, and they used the ball really well, recycled it really well, got forward. And you could just see in the second half, maybe 15 minutes to go, that the last few weeks and of really intense games and maybe going 60 minutes with Cork just added up, and a few tired shots and that's all it was, and you forgive them for that. So there's so many positives there, and as well, the other thing that we haven't mentioned, they really actually got stuck into Cork in terms of physically and aggression as well. Like, they were playing on the border, or they're playing, you know, right up on the line of, in terms of lads potentially even getting sent off, like, I mean, just from accumulating yellow cards. That's fine.
You were sure Jason Sampson was gone. You were probably surprised he got to send
He started the game very aggressive, and I was looking at it going, fair play. Like, I mean, he's hitting the ground running, and he got his yellow card, and I think he fouled again in the second half. And I was just saying, I said, you know, he's, in fairness to him, he's really playing right up to the limit here. He's not giving up, but it's, you know, you're treading a fine line there as well. But I meant that from a compliment point of view, that, like, Offaly could have easily went out and stood off Cork, and you know, we've been critical of teams of standing off other teams and not getting stuck in, and, you know, you sometimes watch matches as well when they say, like, Kilkenny played Dublin Leinster final. Kilkenny, four of Kilkenny's starting forwards had yellow cards after a while. I'm not encouraging it, but you could just see that they were getting stuck in, whereas I think maybe one Dublin lad after about 50 minutes or two Dublin lads had yellow cards because they just weren't getting stuck in, even though the ghost was up at that stage. But Offaly were just getting stuck in. They were getting right up in their faces. They weren't really showing, you know, too much respect for Cork. They were saying, like, you know, we're here on merit. We want to see what we can get off you. And, you know, that was just the end result of it. So I really liked a lot of things I saw about Offaly today. And look, they can, no, like you don't need me to say it, they can leave their year on a huge high here now, regardless of the result today. They've done a huge amount, and this was an extra game that, you know, was, it was what it was, but, you know, they won what they needed to win this year.
Skell, not to get off the beaten track here, but I think of Dublin, that's the one thing Dublin can't afford to do next week. So Richie Hogan was chatting to us early in the week, and he was talking about how Kilkenny were fizzing the ball around, and I would agree with that. But the amount of possessions that were uncontested, say, to Richie Reid, and Kilkenny were able to build that platform and just go through Dublin last week. You saw Cork's running game at times today, and even what Cork can do when they did get up on the Offaly puck out a few times and cause turnovers. Dublin are going to have to do exactly what Murph was talking about, Jason Sampson there, or maybe Dan Burke. They're going to have to get in among them, or otherwise Cork are going to run through them for fun next week.
Yeah, like, I suppose to Dublin's demise in Kilkenny really was they sat way off them, and they tried to play a zone game, crowd out the back, and basically try to get Kilkenny to move through them. But essentially that backfired completely because you had the likes of Mullen and Donnelly dropping out very deep, who were able to get a simple supply of ball off the likes of Richard Reid, etc. So in today's game, it was quite similar in the sense that you had the Offaly backline, they held their line. And that's why you saw so much ball going into the hands of the likes of Dalton and Lahan, because they were the outballs to the half backline. In fairness to Offaly, they did really well in kind of, I would say, putting a bit of a delay on the Cork runners coming off from the back. We didn't see as much of, you know, the Downies, the Gyces, the Coremans running through, you could say, penetrating the Offaly midfield into half backline as you would imagine you'd see. And like, that's probably the blueprint that Dublin will have to abide by, because they can't repeat what they did against Kilkenny and drop off. Because if you drop off against Cork, you're inviting torture with that athletic players coming through you. So they might look at Offaly's game today and say, right, if we hold our half back line, we'll have definitely defensive covering behind us. Because when the ball went into the full forward line for Cork, on a few occasions they got joy, the Offaly half back line were there. So they had the territory organised in terms of turnover. There was a few, just again, excellent moves from excellent players that resulted in the goals. But again, when you're talking about Gulfs in class here, Will, I think Offaly did a really, really good job in terms of limiting the amount of supply that the Cork full forward line can get and just limiting the damage. That's probably on the back of their league game as well, and shipping the beating they did previously. So Dublin will look at that and say, we can't do what we did against Kilkenny. If they do, they'll be hammered again. They'll be out of the championship, and they're waiting for next year's World Cup. So I think what Donal Meehan will do is he'll get his five up to number 12. Those eight positions are absolutely critical in today's game, as we know. If you can get those right, put pressure on the Cork players. Can't have a situation where they're running past you, basically unopposed. Get pressure on them. Get hands on them. I agree with you, Murph. It's very important early days to get some sort of pressure, hands, whatever, physicality. Just let them know, I'm here today. Do you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying, like, I'm not for Hurley swipes. I'm all body checks in hard. You know what I mean? Physically. That's far more damaging, you say, to the psyche of an opposition player than a cheap strike. So if those lads can get in early from position 5 to 12, put hands on Cork, make it physical, make it a battle, it'll close the gap. Because right now, to everyone, to us, the public, there's a gap between Dublin and Cork right now. Because where they're coming from, they're two different stratospheres, to be honest. And Thurles is, again, it's a tricky venue, large venue. So Dublin don't have a good record in Thurles whatsoever. So again, it's all to play for, but they have work to do.
Yeah, let's lean on your full backline experience here, Murph. How well did Ciarán Burke do for Offaly on Alan Connolly? Because I wrote down afterwards that five of the starting Cork forwards had scored. Shane Kingston scored when he came off the bench as well. But Alan Connolly, who did so much damage against Offaly earlier this year, didn't get the scoreboard today. And he's been such a central goal threat for them. I'm sure if you're coming off the pitch and you're Ciarán Burke, you're probably fairly happy with the job he's done on them today.
Four turnovers.
Yeah. No, of course you'd have to be. And Skell said there, like, four turnovers. Like, there's a huge, huge marker there to be had. Like, with Alan Connolly, we know that if he gets the run of it and if he gets a gap, and even if he doesn't, like, if you give him a small bit of space, you're doing a really good job, and you give him a small bit of space, he's still capable of hitting the net once or twice, maybe even three times, as he's done a few times this year. But to see him come off after maybe 50, 55 minutes, and it's no mark against Alan Connolly either, but it was just one of those days where, defenders just really got stuck in on top of him. But there was lots of defenders then as well for Offaly that really did a good job. And I thought as a defensive unit, they did really well. So many times in the first half, when that Cork runner, whoever it was running through the middle, Offaly got back in numbers, got a flick, got a block. Sometimes it was a free, but more often than not, they managed to turn over the ball. And that's the line you have to tread, because you can't expect to go out and win 10 out of 10 of those where you're swarming back, getting a flick, and a foul happens. It's going to happen when you're doing that. But like, as a unit, you know, you have to pay huge credit to Offaly, but they'll be able to pick out at the same time. The goal threats, when they did come, like, that was more, I think, the difference in level between the Joe McDonagh and the Lee McCarthy. You could just see that where, when the goal threat came, first of all, Cork have been playing at this level, so they were very clinical when it came. Also, as well, as Skehill kind of touched on earlier, I think it was the Hayes goal, wasn't it, where he bounced it off the ground. There you are. That's the difference. You're getting through on goal and you're making it very hard for the keeper to finish. You might score more goals than the Joe McDonagh by hitting it shoulder, head height, and hitting it into the roof of the net. But there was two missed opportunities for Offaly today. But there was a few chances where that Offaly unit will go, look, this is where we did great. And it's brilliant to come away with lots of measurables there to say, God, we did this really well. But there was times where we got balls turned over, and as a unit, we're too far away from each other, be it that, or maybe a man didn't go and just close down the Cork man and just, you know, maybe take one for the team, get out there, close them down, whatever it is you have to do. So there's a small bit of cuteness there that just Offaly may have to pick up. But then again, they're small learning things. 90% of what that Offaly defence were doing today was really good. And even when they were coming out then, they were coming out with ball and getting towards their own 65. They were still looking up, looking where they could pop it. It just seems ingrained into them that we're not going to strike silly ball here, particularly because we're playing against a smart team. Like, you know, if we're playing Joe McDonagh, there's teams we can strike that ball from our own 45. But if we're playing against Cork and we're serious about going at them, we have to carry that ball as far as we can up. And there was great as well communication between their half forward line, how they carried the ball out to the backs when they had it and then gave good ball to that half forward line who were coming looking for it. It was such a huge platform, such a huge platform. But to go back to the first point, the defensive unit as a whole, I just think they can really be very happy tonight that, I know, despite the fact there was four goals scored, despite all that, you're playing against a savagely good team who scored a lot of goals against Cork or against Limerick as well. They're a very good team. So don't be hanging your head over that. A lot of what you did was outstanding today.
Question mark. Sorry, across here. Just, I was looking at Hoggy's touch work today. Like, it's a random question for you. Any forward ever stick out in your mind, marking that had the tightest touch? Because I'm looking at Hoggy today. Like, his touch is literally stuck to him. One touch in his hand.
Yeah.
Anyone that sticks out in your brain?
Well, it's him is the simple answer because he. Different forwards have different techniques of doing it. Like, so like is in what Hoggy would do to you. Like, so he'd drift in towards the, let's say towards the full forward position. And he, like, their backs when they're coming out always had great awareness that just drop it into the space for Hoggy. Cause he used to drift out and he wants to get the ball into the hand, keep it tucked in, not show it to you, and then sidestep either side and pop it over the bar. That's what he always liked to do. Whereas Conor Whelan, for example, Conor Whelan goes out and broadens the shoulders, keeps it nice and low and gets in over it, like, because he has big physical presence, where Hoggy isn't that. But his touch was immense. He has a big boss of the hurl as well. Yeah, something they always notice. So it's he can approach that ball very fast and there's a fair chance he'll get something on it, you know. But I'm trying to think of any other lads that outdo him. Like, it's funny because Hoggy will go out, he'll get a ball into hand really quick. But when you're marking Shane O'Donnell usually go with the hand and he'll try and get it into the hand straight away, which is another tricky thing because if Hoggy was going with the hurl, you can usually put your hurl in and when he touches it, you might get a flick to it and it'll disrupt him. Whereas when you have a player like Shane O'Donnell who goes at it, he just puts the hand down. That ball isn't bouncing, it's going straight into the hand and off he goes. But I would say from everyone, it's very hard to pick anyone out over Patrick Horgan. I know he's the example you brought up. You might think it's the easy answer, but it's very hard to think of someone out of him who takes it so well low into the body, which is a skill in itself, that you can take it down hip height. That's the hardest thing to defend. Control it close to the body. You're nightmare for defenders. Nightmare.
Various moments ago, people continue to question Horgan and his importance to this Cork team and whether he needs to be rotated out or what's the best thing to do with him as a starter, not a starter, etc. He's kind of silenced any doubts there may have been at any point this year, hasn't he? He's back to his absolute best scoring form. And as you highlighted today, every time the ball went into him, it stuck.
It stuck, and I have to give credit because normally when I think of something like that, and it must be admitted on his behalf too, that there was probably a spell in his career, maybe not this year, obviously, in portions of last year, the year previous, that he didn't come across as, you know, in his best form, didn't look happy, looked like that kind of his race was nearly ran. And part of me is thinking, was that man management? You know, was that really man management? And when I look at a player that's got his skill level, still in supreme shape, he's not missing a step whatsoever in terms of his pace. So nothing that's of his physical tools or his skill tools have dropped off in any form at all. He'd say there must be something to do with man management. And it looks like this may sound ridiculous, it looks like he's happy. He's really happy in his skin. He's playing well. He's in a really good mind space. And I think if you're like fit mind, fit body. Do you know what I mean? If your mind is in a good spot, like everything else would follow. And it just feels like that it's he was obviously trying over the last couple of years. Cork weren't going as well as they'd like. They were still in some bit of a transition period, whether it be with management or new players. And sometimes he's been the forward guy because he's the easy target as the forward guy because he's been the main guy for the last, 16 years? He's there since 2008. You know, so he's an easy target. It's very hard picking anybody else. But I think he's carried that role of being Cork's main forward for the last 16 years really, really well. And to still be producing what he's producing at his age with the mileage he's done. Because we have to remember, like, he's played nearly every game for Cork over the last number of years. Yeah. So he's a lot of mileage, a lot of clockwork, a lot of cornerbacks hanging off from like this lad here. Do you know what I mean? So it hasn't been a simple ride from like, hasn't been like a goalkeeper who, you know, doesn't get relatively touched, as people say. So it just all looks that it's come together. And I think when you look back on players who have had great glittering careers, but haven't had the look to a degree as well of being part of a team that won an Ireland medal, you look at Horgan and go, as a hurling person, I'd love for him to win one. You know, obviously it won't be like always expense this year, but if someone were to win one like across nationally that hasn't got one, I'd be pointing my finger at him and say I'd love him to get one, because I think that what he's done for the sport, done for Cork, like he deserves one. And they say you get what you deserve, you know what I mean? But I think for what he's done and for what the magic he's produced at various times, he's number one on my list now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Murph, you can't be quite as neutral as Skell, because your team are still very much in contention to win this year's All-Ireland Championship. But, well, they do. But I would prefer if Patrick Horgan doesn't become a debate question in a few years' time where people go, is he the best guy not to get his hands on the Celtic cross? I'd much prefer if he had one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And all things being equal, like, you don't want to see Patrick Horgan finish up his career without an All-Ireland medal. He's one of those lads, like, more than earned it. It's not even a conversation, really. Like, he's we're talking at the start of the show of him possibly passing 700 points, like, which is absolutely ridiculous. But his service and the amount of years there that, like, okay, they've been in contention years and they've had a lot of praise along the way, but they've also had a lot of years where they came to nothing. And, you know, he was still putting in those hard yards, and he was, like Skell was saying, the fall guy. There's a lot of emotional mileage on the clock there as well, I'd say. So, look, I know, yeah, of course, it's this year, and you're saying, oh, Jesus, he hasn't many years ahead of him. It'll be at Kilkenny's expense some way if he does win one. But the bottom line is, I don't think there's a hurling person in the country that wouldn't like to see Patrick Horgan finish whenever that career finishes, because Lord knows he might stay another year. He looked great. Like, I mean, he looks like he's flying it. And he might just decide.
His nickname TJ was Dapper.
It won't stop. No.
It'll be whoever finishes first, the two of them go together. They'll text each other, I've enough of this shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be sitting here, the game stage. Sitting here in 2030 and they'll be passing the 1,000 mark for points.
Yeah, I'm just leaving. I'm sick of this.
but like, just to say, genuinely, and as a fellow I would have marked several times, he's a very enjoyable fellow to mark in terms of it's all about the hurling, just goes out there, it's a fair battle. There's never been a bad stroke. He's a good fella, like a really good fella. So definitely, I think anybody with a hurling bone in their body would like to say that Patrick Horgan would finish his career with an All-Ireland medal. But, you know, we've seen lots of great players down through the years. The fairy tale just doesn't work out like that. So that's the nature of sport. And that's, you know, it's just unfortunate. It's a team game. As brilliant as you can be as an individual, it's the team game at the end of the day.
Right, Skell. Another question. You do yours first. Go on.
I'm sorry, because what I was thinking about, I did say to you, Murphy, even enough, right? Historically, even enough, but is 2015 the last one?
Oof. Yeah.
So I'm going through players again. I was writing a list as you were talking there, right? Of course, Kenny, who have medals, right?
Mm.
Is there like only six or seven at the moment?
On the panel?
Yeah. Is there more?
Jeez, well, Owen Murphy.
I've Owen Murphy, TG Reid. I've Wally Watchester there, isn't he?
Yeah, Connor Fogarty.
I've Killian Buckley.
Yeah.
I don't. I have a question mark on Richie Reid. I don't know, was he on the panel at the time? Unlikely.
Richie Reid, 2015, he was, yep.
Was he? Okay.
Yep.
Was he not? Was he a goalie one time, no?
That was younger, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was. 2016, he was. 2015, 16, he, around then, he was he was goalkeeper, yeah. He played a few games in the goal. He played against Cork, actually, down in the year that they wore the Centennial.
Sorry, he was sub-keeper in 2015.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah,
I stopped there. I don't know. Is anybody else?
Oh, God. Trying to think of people from the panel. It's a young enough team now at the moment. Bum, 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 bum. I think
that might be it.
I think that might be it. My brain, I'm trying to think of Kenny players at the moment. My brain has just gone blank.
Yeah. To 2015, like, some of the players from the years before were kind of transitioning out, like Joey Holden's away at the moment. Yeah. Padraig Welsh retired last year. A certain Paul Murphy isn't playing anymore. Michael Fenley's gone. You already mentioned Buckley and Fogarty. Colin Fenley's retired. Richie Hogan is retired. TJ is there. Ger Aylward is gone. Wally is still there. Owen Larkin is retired. Richie Powers retired. John Powers retired. So yeah, I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Yeah. And was that going anywhere else, Skettle, or was just a point of information?
No, when I said you've enough, right? I started thinking, sure, how many of the current panel have medals?
Yeah, getting close to 10 years
now. You're talking about 6 out of the 30, 35, and say, okay, maybe there's a good lot of lads. Obviously, there's a good lot of lads that don't, so.
Yeah. You know.
But still, let's give hockey one, will
you? I don't
know. There's something to say about that, though.
What's up to us yet? If that's Limerick boys at the moment.
Right.
Sorry, William, on to you, your question there.
On to me. Well, I was going to go with another question, but what I'll do is I'll play a little bit of Pat Ryan talking to Tommy Rooney after the game first. This was his take on Cork's performance before we talk about Cork from here.
Look, I suppose, look, a bit disappointing. We promised more side. Look, in fairness, Offaly, they were very well set up, very well managed. And look, you could see that they were very sharp. And look, in fairness to us, look, we were just very sloppy on the day. And it's look something for us to really go after the lads next week in preparation for Dublin.
Yeah, you're facing a team now that's on a high, and I suppose they could have treated this game like a shot to nothing. There's been very few Joe McDonagh Cup winners that have won, only one so far. Was that a different challenge today? Because there was a real buzz about them.
Yeah, there was a real buzz about them, in fairness. And look, Offaly hurling is going well, but we knew that. Look, disappointed from our side of things that we weren't, we just didn't work hard enough. Thought we played too much as individuals, but look, gives us something to go after the lads next week in preparation for the Dublin game.
Okay, was that the work rate that you were disappointed with? Was there a couple of interceptions as well?
Very disappointed. Yeah, look, I thought we were sloppy, didn't get enough turnovers in what we've been getting over the last couple of games we played in. But look, that's the way we look at them and move forward.
Crucially, you got goals when it mattered.
Yeah, I got a couple of great goals, and looking fierce to Patrick. He brought off a couple of great saves for us when it was needed, which was great for him. But look, we'll back to training on Monday night and see where we go from here.
Yeah, it's going to be a very different challenge against Dublin and Turles. A very quick turnaround to that game as well. How do you get the lads up for that one?
Look, it's fantastic. From our side of things, look, to know that we're in an All-Ireland qualifying. Look, it wasn't looking bleak during the Munster Championship, so we're ready to go after that. Look, you know?
You've been getting bodies back. Robbie O'Flynn back on the pitch again today. The panel has been beefed out quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Look, we know we've plenty of players, but look, you know, it's trying to get them to harness the power that they have, you know, so look, we move forward.
Let's take those comments in two parts, right? So the first one is sloppy was the repeated message that came through there. He also said to the print journalists as well, because sloppy was definitely in one or two of the reports that I read. So clearly that's the message coming out. This was a bit sloppy today. It needs to be better next week. We can talk about the players coming back in and where they fit in a second. But Anthony Nash on Friday, Scal, was not getting pulled into any kind of the talk, despite the fact you're asked in a million different ways about the fact that Cork should now be looking at this as a path to an All-Ireland semi-final. The potential to play against Limerick, who they've already beaten, and maybe get to an All-Ireland final for the first time since 2021. Where are you on Cork at the moment with a game that they'll be expected to win against Dublin to potentially get them back to Croke Park? Is this Cork team the real deal or not?
That's a big question, man. Jesus.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, hold on. I need to unpack a bit here.
How dare you, Will, ask him a question about hurling on a podcast about hurling?
Hold on a second now. There's a bit of unpack here. Like? Essentially, right, so Pat Ryan said sloppy, so I agree with him. More quicker snigger in there. They were sloppy, in fairness. I think parts of their team today were sloppy, particularly in the back line. I can't say their forwards were overly bad today, even though Offaly defended well as a unit, but the lads, they slipped up 425, so I can't say it was a bad day at the office for the forwards. You know, Patrick Collins, who shifted a bit of flack this year, performed reasonably well. The goals, can't give him too much flack for that either. No. Pretty good. So I think there's a bit of, I would say, tightening up at the back, a bit of tightening up, let's say, in terms of ball retention and get back to where they were in the Munster Championship. I wouldn't judge them today and, you know, and say your stock has gone down because of today's performance. Today's a very hard game to put away because, again, you're on a height to nothing, really. You know, you're going to...
Also, win by today's third, scale is the 3 weeks off game.
Yeah.
You've had to wait to come back around. You're against a team away from home who've just come off the back of another game. You're expected to win. It's very different to the motivation of, say, those last few weeks in Munster where, as Pat was saying himself, they had to win to go through. It was like there was pressure on them. It was a different type of pressure today. So you're probably not expecting a big performance. Yeah.
Whereas today, like even the national narrative today was that after you're coming back off 2 points, it's not the start of the week after winning Joe Mack. That's perfectly reasonable, you know. So even in the subconscious of the Cork players, like you'd say to yourself, no matter what challenge is posed to us today, we're still going to win. So, and that's reality. And as I said before, your stock doesn't go up too high when you play teams that you're nearly 99.9% success rate against, really. So Park today, I wouldn't judge today too much, really. I think now for Cork, their championship starts, you know, starts tomorrow morning, really speaking, preparation for Dublin and getting rolling. you can't look past Dublin too easy. I know everyone will look at Dublin and say, geez, they got annihilated by Kilkenny and they're not offering much, but you just don't know in today's game. You just do not know in today's game. As Murph said, 12 points nowadays, the new six, and you know, teams can get punished, and like Offaly put up a good score against Cork, regardless of what state they were in. You know, they put up a record score, 319. There's nothing to be battled about there. So I think there's a chance for Dublin. Now, I give it straight up, I give it a 5-1 chance for Dublin to beat Cork.
Okay.
And then if Cork gets through unscathed, you know, heading for Limerick, I just think, when I say a real deal against Cork, for Cork, Limerick are the real deal, Will. They're the real deal. So Cork, for me, aren't the real deal as of yet. Just as yet. And for me, they just don't deserve it. One victory against Limerick, yeah, cool, is well done for that. But up to the penalty, that's your bet. You know what I mean? So until you topple Limerick, which I think they've got a chance, again, but when you get Limerick into Croke Park, it's a different kettle of fish entirely. So I think they'll pass through Dublin. They'll get through them relatively, I'll say easily. They'll get through it with a bit of a challenge. Come to Limerick. I still believe Limerick will beat them. And I think in Croke Park, they nearly beat them handsomely, to be honest. Okay. I still put a 6-point differential between Limerick and Cork and Croke Park.
Right. So they'll say to you, they've already beaten Limerick. They can take all of the kind of experience from that, probably the knowledge of how they played that day. Stop. Maybe Limerick set up differently.
Stop. Listen.
Go on.
Okay, I know you said they beat Limerick, right? But yeah, Cork, did, yeah. Whatever,
it's on,
whatever.
It's on the record now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But it makes it sound like when people talk about Cork and Limerick that Cork just rolled through Limerick for the whole game. They did not.
It was a last gas penalty, but yeah.
They were 7 or 8 points up at halftime. Limerick rolled them back.
Said that. I don't think anybody said that.
No, but that's the feeling. Like, oh, Cork bet Limerick. Limerick. You got the 2 points. Well done. But it's not as if that she steamrolled them like Limerick did to Clare last week. You know, it's essentially that they were up at halftime, up by a good margin, got a couple of goals and conceded by Limerick in a form that we haven't seen before too easily. And then Limerick just clawed them back again, and only for the penalty decision, which was a bit of a moment of madness, you could say. They were better again. So I don't think the performance was certainly impressive, because they did something that is not that quite easy to do. Mm. But Limerick have regrouped, and look at the way they played against Clare last week. So I'm saying that's what's coming against you. And the animal you face in Croke Park with Limerick is far different to what you see in the Munster Championship. I don't care what anybody says. They are a different animal in Croke Park. Unbeaten. Unbeatable nearly to a degree.
All right. You have a think there for a second about the Dublin full forward line, because that's what's coming up next. Murph, are Cork the real deal?
What defines being the real deal? Like, they're a really good team. They've lots of
hold on. So right now, you're thinking about Cork off the back of today. They would be expected to beat Dublin. They've got Limerick coming up in a few weeks' time at Croke Park, but he's wagging the finger on the other side.
This is why he's at now. He's delaying. What's the right answer to give here?
I'm trying to define this question. He asked, what do you mean by the real deal? I'm like, are they a live option to beat Limerick in a few weeks' time, and are they going to beat Dublin this week?
There's only one team at the minute that's the real deal. That's Limerick. They're the real deal, right? Okay, that's the real deal now that we know of, right? So you can't be saying, are Cork the real deal? Don't be throwing around them titles too easily. Please.
This is the thing. I was
Cork very good. Yes, they're very good.
Yeah,
exactly. The real deal. Pause. Just pause a second now.
You need to relax.
Sorry, I'm getting a bit hot here.
Holy God.
I didn't think this was contentious at all.
I'm not from Limerick. I'm from Galway.
I thought this was a very reasonable thing to ask, El. You know, yeah. Cork have shown a bit of form coming out of Munster. They've won today. Might have a few question marks about parts of the game. They're expected to beat Dublin next week. Are they a contender to beat Limerick? I thought the real deal was an okay phrase to use. So, I don't know, maybe we have to reframe the phrase, Murph. In a few weeks' time, are Cork good enough to go and beat Limerick? How's about that? From what you've seen so far.
I know what you're asking of me then. Yeah. When you said the real deal, I was like, what does that actually mean?
I don't mean they're going to win five in a row, or I don't mean that they're like the best team of all time. What I'm saying is, could they potentially beat a team who've got the title of potentially the best of all time?
Yeah, they absolutely can. And I actually, if I'm going to, I suppose, frame the whole thing, like, I think I understand why Pat Ryan is saying what he's saying, because I think he's seen his team perform to outstanding levels when people start to write them off and they give them a few kicks and they're nearly like a bad dog. They come back and they bite fairly hard and they get in performances. But we've also seen Cork when people build them up. And when people build them up, I think that's when they're at their most vulnerable. They were built up coming into, they finished the league really well, built up coming into Munster Championship, faltered, started really poorly against Waterford. Like today against Offaly, you can learn nothing about Cork today against Offaly. And I think Pat Ryan is coming away from there going, there's no reason why we should come away from this game giving ourselves a big pat on the back. We were expected to win it. We won it. Yeah. But Pat Ryan can point to a lot more things than Offaly can in terms of things to improve on. And I understand what he's saying, he's sloppy. I think he wants to hold the team in a place where they're going, we're not there yet, we're not there. Like, if you look at what Paddy Deegan was saying, or, you know, I think Owen Cody was even saying it about looking for that 70-minute performance. Every team is keeping their mentality in a place now where they're going, we can't be satisfied with where we are. There's no team, including Limerick, can be satisfied with where they're playing at the moment. And if you go out, unfortunately, and this will be the same, this will be the truth next year and the year after, if you're a team that plays the Joe McDonagh Champions, you won't take anything from that game by way of positive mentality unless you go out and absolutely hammer them. Like, and even at that, you have to park it after the game, because Cork, if they want to go and have a tilt at Limerick, they need to be savagely aggressive. They need to be, and Dublin likewise. Like, I mean, if Cork go into the game with one eye on Limerick, and Dublin come with aggression, and Dublin have to come with a huge amount of aggression, but there's potential for a Waterford-Cork situation there, the first round of the round robin, to happen again, where Cork come into the game and they find it very hard to get into the swing of things in the game, and it suddenly becomes a cagey affair. Granted, they might come out winning by 5 or 6 points, but they've now maybe taken a hit to the ego at this stage. So for Cork at the moment, their main thing is keeping the players in a place where they're just not satisfied with their performance. They don't feel like they're the real deal, as you're saying. I don't think that's the place that they need to go in terms of mentality. I think they need to be going to a place with huge aggression, with maybe even knocking themselves a small bit, so that they come into games kind of raw, kind of smart in a small bit, and feeling that they're being wrote off. Because go back to the 2021 final, people were saying they're going to beat Limerick, they're going to hammer them. And you could just see that their mentality, you nearly say that their mentality in that 2021 final was similar to Dublin's mentality in the Leinster final there last week. So I just think there's a lot of stuff there to, like, if you're asking our Cork to really, they have all the talent there to go and beat Limerick. We've seen it already. Of course, it's an incredible Limerick team, and, you know, they'll probably need one or two breaks. And I think any team who is to go and beat Limerick needs that. But they have what they need at their disposal to go and do it. What I think the only question with Cork is what Cork is going to turn up. And until Cork win in All-Ireland, I think that question will probably hang over them. And that's just a mantle they have to hold on to, you know, and just deal with it.
Forgive me, you're going to have to keep Dublin full forward line on the back burner for a second, because you've just reminded me, Murph, by saying Paddy Deegan and Owen Cody, because I was chatting to Owen Cody on the bonus pod that we got the week just gone by, and Kilkenny not getting credit came up both from him and from Paddy Deegan. Is that a fair point from the two lads? Because this is a Kilkenny team who are the fourth ever to do 5 in a row in the Leinster Championship. It's not easy to run it off, even if people want to argue about the strengths or relative strengths of Leinster at the moment. Given that they haven't capped it with an All-Ireland, is that a fair criticism of Kilkenny that they haven't converted these Leinsters and so therefore it's not that big of an achievement? Or if you were on the Kilkenny panel right now, would you feel there's not fair credit for what they've done in the province for the last 5 years?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, the perspective that the boys will be looking at it in, like, every team in the country has a kind of a siege mentality, and they'll pick up on certain things. And I don't think the lads are taking it savagely personally by way of that they feel that everybody should be praising them and that they have been the second best team in the country for the last few years. But nevertheless, like, they're the only unbeaten team, let's say, in the championship. And maybe they felt that, like, they can only play what's in front of them. And maybe they felt that the narrative around that throughout the year was just that, of course they're winning this match, of course they're winning that match. But every other team has lost a match this year, or just hasn't, you know, the unblotched record. So I think, you know, I've been in that situation before where you've been in a dressing room, and like I was saying about Pat Ryan and Cork, you're trying to keep your mindset in this place where you're going, you're aggressive, and you feel like, you know, there's a point to prove, and you feel like it's way better to feel like that you're being written off than it is that you're getting the credit you need. So for me as a player, I would have always been a bit more sensitive to taking in people writing you off and people saying that, you're not as good as you think. That was always great fuel to the fire. And I think the boys are very, very aware of that as well. And I think they know that that's a better place to be in, to be aware that people are writing you off, than to be in a place where the pat on the back. Because when you're going well and you're in a really good place and people start to compliment you, that's actually a dangerous place to be in, because the feet could come off the ground. When the feet come off the ground, you don't put in a great performance. And I think it's probably a reflection of where the lads are at the moment, that Derek probably has them in a place of where they're going, like, you know, maybe prodding them, like maybe saying, look at lads, there's lads writing me off. They're maybe saying that, you know, Kilkenny teams of the past might have gotten over the line. And, like, you know, Owen Cody's, Adrian Mullins, Paddy Deegan, like all these boys, as I said previously, if they came from the last generation, they would have All-Irelands. So for these boys to be kind of prodded with that, I think we're getting a glimpse into the mindset of where they're at the moment. They're not satisfied with, we've done 5 in a row. But, you know, people are writing us off. They think we're not a good team. We are a good team. And I think that's just what we're seeing at the moment. So I think a small bit of it will be that they're leaving themselves open for it at the moment, that they want to absorb all that, use it as fuel. But at the same time, it's justified as well. Like, I mean, people can say what they want about the Leinster Championship, but those Kilkenny boys can only play what's in front of them. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all expected Kilkenny and Galway to be in the Leinster final for it to be a 50-50 affair. You know, Galway didn't hold up their side of it. Kilkenny did. Kilkenny win it. And I think they're just kind of saying that, well, look, we're doing our part. I'm only saying, Scale. I'm only saying. I'm having a little fire.
It did feel like a slight dig, but go on.
You don't want it in there.
It was. Jez wouldn't. If Anton fans, I just go studs up altogether if I was going in. You might as well go at Skettle full blast if you're going to go at him, for God's sake.
I think Kilkenny don't give a shite there in Leinster. I think every other county doesn't like want it there.
You think Kilkenny don't give a shite in Leinster?
Hold the grenade, build the pin. I'm just going to throw in the grenade there. I think Kilkenny don't give a shit to go in Leinster. I think every other county is saying, we don't want you there.
Kilkenny don't care that Galway are there. Is that what you're saying?
They're the only ones that don't feel threatened by it.
Don't care. I honestly, I'll
get you.
That's my belief. Yeah.
I can't believe we're going down this tangent, but I may as well ask you.
Sorry.
How would you feel about an idea? Because Joe Fortune, the now former Westmeath manager, was talking about, you know, some of the counties in Leinster not being able to avail of their own championship and they have to qualify for it through the Joe McDonagh. And he was talking about like why there couldn't be a system that, say, Leash, Offaly, Westmeath, Carlow, couldn't be guaranteed a chance to play in their own province if they wanted to play, even if that was some kind of mini qualifier round robin before the main event or whatever else, that they should have access to their province. Now, he wasn't trying to kick Galway out or kick Antrim out, but I saw some people were commenting underneath. Would the solution to this possibly be put Galway into Munster and allow the Leinster teams to play in their own province? How would you feel about Galway going to Munster potentially?
Personally speaking, I don't care what province we're in.
Okay.
Because you have to understand, we're coming from a place where we have no province. We have no home. So
do you feel unloved in Leinster?
We feel unloved nationally.
Okay.
To be honest. This is me speaking.
Candidly, but go on.
Yeah. We've no provincial championship. It was for years going on there and was a waste of time. Then there was kind of media kind of middle ground met where there was a qualifier system, you know, where you couldn't lose a game, you're gone. Fair enough, that was grand. Then we got into Leinster Championship, and that's when I think actually we began to, you know, participate more, longer, getting better, developing, etc. Maybe not to the level or the pace that we'd like, but we always got the sense that Jesus, there was not really wanted, to be honest. And I would get why the likes of, you know, at this present moment in time, the Westmeath, the Leashes, the Offaly would say, well, you're taking up a spot. You're occupying one of our spots that we are naturally birthright entitled to have.
It's always felt to me, Scale, like you can talk about the experience having, been on part of management teams at minor and 20s the last couple of years. I always think it's a very unfair system whereby it's like, we'll have you by all means, Galway, but you can play your neutral games in Tullamore. We're not going to bring teams over to Salt Hill at underage level. I think you either have to be integrated fully or not integrated at all.
Well, that was the case, and that was probably one of the battles that the county board started with the senior team going on for a while. And I think 2018 was the first year we got a home game, championship game, in terms of a provincial championship for, I don't even know, was there ever one? You know, I know those qualifiers held in Galway, for sure, but in terms of a provincial game.
Yeah, no, Galway were always on the road. I remember you playing games there was, Tullamore, you know, in Port Leash, yeah.
So underage, we've kind of grown accustomed to the fact that we'd be travelling to Tullamore's or Port Leash's, etc. But to your question about Munster, we wouldn't give a shit. You know, if you're good enough, my attitude, personally speaking, if you're good enough, you'll come out of the championship. If you're not, you won't. It's that simple. And you can make up all the excuses you want at the end of it all. But if you go out and hurl and you come through your championship, you come through Munster or Leinster, if you deserve it, you deserve it. If you don't, fuck off and go home. It's that simple. You know, excuse the colour for language, but you know what I'm saying?
But before, by the way, anyone comes for me, I'm all for Kerry participating in the Munster Championship. I don't think there should have ever been any need, and I know they removed it a couple of years ago, this idea that it had to be a promotion playoff for Kerry, even if they won the McDonagh, to go into Munster, and this idea that Kerry would be better off in Leinster and all this type of stuff. I don't agree with it. This is just a talking point with Scale. I was interested to see what his opinion would be if Galway were to divorce themselves from Leinster and go into Munster. So
we'd never be let.
Your official line is, you don't really give a shit.
I don't care what problems they're in, to say, as long as there's competitive hurling on a continuing basis. And like, there's no Leinster County stopping Kerry going to Munster. Remember that now?
No, absolutely not. No, I think Munster should definitely have the chance if they get to that level, say they're a senior county again, they should be allowed. That was a correct move to change that. I think it was 2 years ago that if they were to get up, Kerry should go into their
but
own
you know,
championship.
You know, there'd be a concern amongst the Munster public that if Kerry came in, that they would kind of semi-dilute the championship, the competitiveness. That's what it is.
But why would you block one of your own provincial teams from being able to play?
Right, right now, you've got a humdinger of a championship where every game is contested heavily.
Sure.
It's national spotlight. It's classed as the best championship, even inclusive with Ireland, classed as the best championship in our sport. So if you bring in a team that probably won't compete to a degree that all the teams are competing at the moment, and you'd have 15, 20-point deficits, it dilutes the championships somewhat.
Gosh, you're so what? Like, I mean, you'd have six teams in the championship. You wouldn't have to have as many break weeks, and sure, if Kerry took a few trimmings, at least you're actually providing a platform for a team. That would be the ultimate in hurling snobbery, to keep a team out just because you want your own championship to be a bit more cutthroat.
But that's the reason. And let no one tell me any different.
Yeah.
Murph, okay. Do you agree? Yes or no?
Yeah, but like I was just thinking, if you do the maths on it, if you bring in a sixth team into it and there's still three only qualify, and let's say if you're talking hypothetically, the other five teams still beat the first team, sure, it doesn't make a difference. Like, I mean, if every team beats Kerry, everybody's the same. And if three teams only qualify, it's still the same competitiveness. It's just that one of the games at the weekend isn't as competitive necessarily, but you're still there in merits. And like, you don't actually lose anything by having it.
You could have your relegation game then between the team who finished bottom in Munster and the team who finished bottom in Leinster. I think it's a load of nonsense that the only relegation happens in the Leinster Championship. This is always a way of basically having this bridge between the McDonagh and Leinster is basically, sure, look, Leinster is the old division, is the old development competition. And the two or three teams are going to compete there for finals. It'll probably be Galway and Kilkenny most years. And sure, let the teams yo-yo around the rest.
Sure, the rest of Ireland will.
That's all
it's Munster and the rest of Ireland, that's what it is.
Yeah. Right, we didn't mean to go down that way at all, but here we are. Murph, you can take up this question, and I had intended to put towards Gael, because what happened was the YouTube last week flew, and thanks to everyone who liked and commented, and it just meant that the numbers kept on going up, even though it was from, like, whatever, Sunday night through to the weekend. I noticed a comment on Friday, which was about, we had mentioned that Croke Park maybe didn't suit Dublin as well as Parnell Park, and they were asking the question, is part of this, because the weakest line on Dublin's team is actually their inside forward line. So when they play in Parnell Park, it's better to have your shooters shooting from a bit further out on a shorter pitch than in Croke Park. Is there any merit to that?
As an overall major point, no. It's not the undoing of Dublin. Like, the big thing I saw with Dublin, and the difference is, like, there was no one line. With the half-back line, we're miles off the men, certainly, for a lot of stages. But the whole attitude of Dublin was completely miles off. Like, if that game was in Parnell Park, and Dublin still played the way they played, Kilkenny were still going to hammer them. Like, okay, it mightn't have been 15 points, it might have been 12 or whatever, but it was completely the attitude of Dublin just standing off Kilkenny. Would the smaller field suit them? I don't think so. Like, the major point I just took from the game in Leinster final, and I know I probably mentioned it last week, was just that Dublin stood off Kilkenny, even on the puck out, stood off them. And even when Kilkenny pucked it long, there was still no Dublin lad near Kilkenny man. The attitude is completely different. And if I was to go back and even reference against, this is probably the third time I'm going to reference Cork and Pat Ryan and keeping the lads mentally where they want to be. Dublin had to graft really hard. They were in a place where they were really worried about, I think, coming into this Leinster Championship, where they were going to end up and who they might beat, and approached every game fairly with a good attitude and went at it and see what they could get. The only game they didn't approach with that attitude was Leinster final. And it was a kind of a thing where suddenly now when people are going, geez, fair play to Dublin, it's brilliant, there was a notable drop-off in the attitude. Like, they didn't play like that against Galway, they didn't play like that against Wexford, there's so many against Kilkenny in Parnell Park, they didn't play like that. But I think the only one common thread is that they're being written off. So I think if anybody's looking at tactically what did Dublin do wrong in the Leinster final, as a whole, I don't really know what the game plan was. It looked zonal, and I don't think a full forward line being in Parnell Park or being in Croke Park was any sort of an undoing or anything that would have gained them any great ground. It was the whole team as a performance. So if Dublin were putting in very aggressive performances and working really hard, I'd be starting to change the topic then towards going, okay, maybe a tighter field suits them. But you really can't tell at the moment with Dublin. And I agree with Skehill. Going to Thurles mightn't necessarily help them either, because they don't have a good record in Thurles either. So I don't think it's anything particularly where you go after full forward line was closer. As a group, like, Dublin need to go out with huge aggression at the weekend. And I think whatever game plan they have and whatever way they want to play, it'll all die on the back of whether they actually go out with aggression or not. Because otherwise, if they don't go with aggression, they don't have the players 15 and 15 to go and beat a lot of the top four teams. They don't have it. So aggression has to be to the fore with them. Otherwise, you can talk about all the full forward line you want, tight pitch, narrow pitch, or wide pitch. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, they got absolutely scotched by Clare at this stage last year, so they don't want to repeat that at Thurles this coming weekend. The other game, we have to admit we're somewhat in the dark here, because this game wasn't shown, and we debated that a bit last week. Again, I can't see why these games can't be streamed, and ultimately, look, Wexford led from pillar to post in this one, and they won by 12 points in the end, 32 points to 20. Lee Chin, Conor McDonald scoring 16 points between the two of them. Lee Chin with 11 of the points during the game. They were 13 points up with about 15 minutes to go. Leash got some scores to rally towards the end. But again, I suppose this is what would be expected. The teams who come off the McDonagh Cup final generally don't win the game. They actually, none of them have ever done so. It's only ever been Leash as winners in 2019 that have won a preliminary quarter final. Aaron Dunphy got 15 points, 13 of them from dead balls for Leash across the game. And the only other scores they had, Picky Maher got 2 points in play, Aidan Corby with a point, Cody Comfort who came on got a point, and Ryan Mullaney scored one from long range during the game as well. Wexford, a much better spread of scores during the game. Mentioned Lee Chin with his 11 points, 7 of them from dead balls. Conor McDonald, 5 from play. Keane Byrne with 3 points as he continues to impress. Liam McGovern and Conor Hearn also got 3 points each. Seamus Casey hit over 2 frees. Thomas Kinsella, Simon Donoghue, Damien Reck, Rory O'Connor and Corey Dunbar-Byrne all scored 1 point apiece. So on the face for the comprehensive win for Wexford, but we weren't able to watch this game like we were able to watch the other game on GAA Go. So the question scale will come straight away. Anthony Nash said on Friday, Wexford he sees as dangerous potentially for Clare. These two teams have had a good few tussles with results going either way across league and championship in recent years as well. Are Wexford a major danger for Clare coming off the Munster final this weekend?
I wouldn't use the word major. I'd say they're certainly a danger. When people say, like, I have Wexford a chance, they have a chance, and they could be Clare. But the question is, how are they going to be Clare? You know, so Clare, let's say, in terms of, if I go through each element, like, we'll, in terms of game plan, system, Clare are at the, you know, they're 5 years into their system at the minute. They're well and truly tuned. They've been going toe-to-toe with Limerick for the last number of years. They're well in, they're physically, you know, well able to mix with every team. They've got hurlers and skill positions in most lines. My only concerns when I think about Clare is their full back line and the cover of John Conlon. And I think then the question is, can Wexford exploit that? Have they got the personnel to exploit that? And they have to a degree. But at the same time, can they maintain a steady ship at the back to keep the likes of Duggan, Fitzgerald, O'Donnell, Rogers, etc.? Because what you're looking at now is you're looking at a major ball winner in Peter Duggan, and I think he doesn't get enough plaudits for what he's doing at the minute. He's doing all the hard work, the real hard graft, winner book outs, etc. He's a hard man to stop. Fitzgerald is on a scoring spree, O'Donnell with ball retention, Rogers with direct running, etc. These lads are incredibly hard to stop. So whatever job you do up front against the Clare backs, you know, you have to do an exceedingly good job at the back against the Clare forwards. And I just, when I think of all that together, can Wexford put that together and beat them? And I'd say, of course they can, but the likelihood for me is they won't. It's just too big of a task. It just comes down to personnel in skill positions for me. I have no question about work ethic. I have no question about, you know, the will, the want, as Murph was saying about the Dublin showing up for and applying the grunt. I've no question at all about that. But just ultimately, when all that becomes neutral and it's all parity for both teams, a lot of it comes down to the system of play and skill positions. And I just think Clare are better.
Yeah. I get the feeling a lot of what you've just said there, Skell, is no knock on Wexford whatsoever. It's just you rate Clare that little bit higher.
It's just, and the thing is, it's not a knock. It's not a slight on any team. Mm. It's just common reality at the moment. Again, if you were to do, you know, the list of 1 to 15 and rate who's a higher player, you'd probably, Clare will come out higher. Do you know what I mean? They come out higher overall if you're doing the overall summary. And I don't think anybody here, I don't think you disagree with me, I don't think Murphy disagree with me. That's not to discount Wexford. Like, this can be done, but will it be done is the major question. I just don't see it at the moment. Now, come here, if you introduce some other, you know, external points, like if this game is in Wexford Park, it comes different, but it's not. It's in Thurles. This is a game, this is a place that Wexford aren't relatively used to playing, Clare are. You know, so it's not as if there's any, I suppose, baggage for Clare, even though they got beaten last week, I get that. But this is not a venue that can be treated as a away venue, whereas Wexford, it feels like it is. And they'll travel well, there's no two ways about it. But I just think the task for Wexford at hand, the hurling task, and the skill positions with the personnel they have, is probably a bit too much to climb at the moment.
Okay. Murph, you said last week, there's no reason that Clare can't bounce back from the Munster final. The next test is Wexford. Are Clare passing that test next weekend, whichever day it ends up being on?
Yeah, I think they will. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of a hangover Clare had, particularly just when you're taking into account 2 years ago against Kilkenny, a performance that people weren't really expecting. And there's still a question mark over that as to how that came about. You know, was it the fact that maybe they just, gave in too much, emotional energy into that Munster final. And then particularly off the back of this Munster final as well, I think people are really curious to see where Clare are at. I just think by the quality, like Scott is saying, the quality that Clare have should be enough against a Wexford that have really turned the corner this year compared to where they were playing last year. And they deserve credit. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we're talking about Patrick Horgan potentially finishing without All-Irelands or with All-Irelands. Like, sport is fair on the team that basically has the higher quality. Like, I mean, if you don't have the quality, you have to dig that bit deeper to go out and get a victory. And it looks like Wexford have to do that bit. But having said that, we've seen glimpses of Wexford this year. Let's say particularly, let's say Galway down in Wexford Park, where they weren't the favourites, but when they got a sniff of it, they kind of went, Jesus, they really get their backs up. And when the Wexford team get their backs up, then they're really dangerous. And it's just a matter really of how this game ebbs and flows. If Clare start this game really strong and start close to their 100% in terms of performance, I think Clare really start this game really well and maybe kick out into a 6 or 7 point lead. And, you know, kind of, I see the game going that way. But if Clare don't get into the game straight away and Wexford are allowed to get a foothold in the game and it's tit for tat, I think that's a very dangerous place for Clare to be, because if there's 15 minutes to go and suddenly Wexford have a sniff of it, and I think that's a very dangerous place. Lee Chin is capable of the form he's in as well as shooting the lights out. We see Conor McDonald coming back into form, Rory O'Connor. So they have dangerous players there. And then when you mix that with the, like, Liam McGovern and these players and Liam Ryan and the likes who, you know, big players have a lot of experience as well. They do have enough
Liam
there.
Ryan, I think, is still injured. He wasn't involved. So I wonder, will he be back next week? But yeah, so.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, they have a lot of players there that they have enough experience to get a victory over Clare. I just don't see it happening at the moment. When you look at, you know, one game, again, I say, it just doesn't change where Clare are at. And they just have such quality. Like, I mean, David Fitzgerald and these lads, we're talking about him as being one of the hurlers of the year at the end of the league. Tony Kelly coming back, Shane O'Donnell there, Mark Rogers. Like, they have a huge calibre of players. So, again, as Skettle was saying, it's no knock on Wexford, but it's just hard to look past this Clare team that have just been, you know, they've been really good for consistent levels. It's just a matter of them getting back on the horse now and putting in another solid performance.
You think, Murph, as well, like, I always look at some teams and, like, Wexford are a team that can build on emotional energy.
So
if they have energy at a certain level and something goes right, next thing they start building on top of it, you know, they get better and better. Yeah. But if their emotional energy gets, like, knocked off and they have to restart it, that's when I think they come into a bit of trouble, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they need the external factors, like they need the Wexford Parks or Northern Park, and they need the crowd, they need things to be moving for them to reach their absolute max potential.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, like, it's not present, You don't see it. You potentially see an average performance. That's my concern.
That's
my concern. I think Clare have kind of, bar Limerick, I think Clare have kind of, I suppose, I won't say mastered that, but they've certainly got a handle on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That when things ebb and flow, they can still perform.
Yeah, Clare don't have to rely on as much of the emotional energy to actually get a performance, because, you know, they do have, like, that bit better quality of player on the field. And if you even look back at it, like, you know, when Clare were being managed by Davey, like you're saying about kickstarting it, you know, we had two or three examples maybe of Davey getting sent off halfway during the game where trying to G up the Wexford boys, and it did work. Like, there's no point in saying anything else. There was games there where, you know, he'd go in, he'd get into a tussle, send them off, the crowd would get up, and suddenly Wexford would get a burst of about 10 minutes of a purple patch. They're that kind of a team where, like you said, Scott, if in the first 10 minutes Wexford don't arrive in, it's going to be very hard for them for the next 60 minutes, because they need to be in the game, they need to get a foothold, and, you know, they have the players then. Like, I'm thinking of Rory O'Connor, for example, against Galway, wasn't really good in the first half, got traction in the second half, and he scored about 1-6, like, outstanding. So they kind of have, their game does sometimes turn on a sixpence at times, but if it does happen, they're a very dangerous team, extremely dangerous team, and one that plays hugely on confidence as well. So I think there's where the two question marks is really over this game at the weekend, is what kind of a hangover will Clare have coming into this game? And then how aggressively will Wexford start and build themselves into the game? And potentially being a great game. It does have the potential of being a great game, but there's a lot of unknowns coming into this game, which makes it a tricky one. But I still see Clare, you know, you have to give credit to Clare for who they are at this stage, that, you know, they do have the calibre to come through this game, you know, 5-6 points.
I wonder as well, Skell, whether the main significant thing for Wexford on the evening just gone by, which a lot of their supporters in the live show that we did last week were very concerned about taking on Laois, because it was like, this feels like it could be Antrim 2.0. Maybe Wexford don't perform in a game where they're expected to win by quite a distance. The fact that there was no drama today, really, that they got out to a good lead, they maintained that for the best part, they coast home by a dozen points at the end of the game. Maybe that's the most significant thing about Wexford here, is that they've blown away their 3-week break and they've actually put in a performance against a team where they didn't need to get to an emotional height, while for an All-Ireland semi-final, maybe going to Semple Stadium is all they need next week for that.
I think it's critically important too, because the last thing you want as a player is too long of a break. And I think games, regardless of any opposition, I just think the whole process of getting involved in a game, getting to a pace of a game, participating in the game, etc., sharpens the mind and sharpens the body. So I think it's useful for Wexford. I think it's interesting that the Wexford public said last week about their, I suppose, their concern about Laois. That probably is maybe a sign of past form. You know, they've seen this movie before, as I said, whereby there was performances that they were expected to give against these teams and didn't produce them. So
look at him using a Taylor Swift quote in the middle of his answer as well. Didn't like the ending, did you?
No.
Not one.
See? Murph didn't catch it though. Taylor the bitch. I didn't actually.
What was that? Sorry, what did I miss there?
Oh, it's her song with Bonhamir. What's that song called? It's Skella Bear Me Out Here If I Don't. Hold on now. I'll tell you. The song
I completely
called...
didn't.
I completely it's called Exile. And that's one of the lines in it. I feel like I've seen this movie before and I didn't like the ending.
Oh, jeez. So Skell's turned into a bit of Leo Varadkar here, where you drop in the, during COVID, he was throwing in lyrics into...
Well, I did say, Murph, I did say back in my playlist time that I was a Taylor fan.
Ah, yeah. Well, look, Skell, I'm
a Taylor fan.
I know you were trouble when you walked in, Skell, like, in that song.
Very good. We've got very lost on the point here. So Murph, you can take up the next one. This can be a hurling question for you, nothing to do with Tay-Tay whatsoever. If you're the Clare management, is there anything you change for this Wexford game compared to the Munster final? Whether that be personnel, whether that be tactics, what would you change?
Oh, God. What would I change? I don't know. Like, it's a tough one to think. Like, I mean, when I look back at the Munster final, it was just beaten by the better team. There's things there, like, you know, we spoke about Clare striking a lot of long balls and they got tired. The performance itself just felt a little bit tired. I think what Brian Lowen is going to try and do is, it's, I suppose, a little bit of a reset with Clare in terms of mentally. Just going, okay, Munster final's gone now. We potentially have 3 games here to win an All-Ireland. That's what we're looking at. And we have a huge challenge next to get back into an All-Ireland semi-final. It's one game away from where we planned on being anyway, you know. So I don't think there's no panic here to go and reinvent the wheel. Like, before the Munster final, far be it for me to question Tony Kelly, but I had kind of pointed to the fact that, you know, he hadn't played a lot of games, and just that you can't, that match fitness. Like, if you see Robbie O'Flynn coming on even against Offaly today, like, I mean, again, that's not the Robbie O'Flynn the last we saw of him. Like, he's coming back into performance. It's the same for Tony Kelly. It doesn't matter how good you are. You just need to get those few games under the belt. Now, this is a great game for him to get under the belt, but maybe the Munster final was just one game too early for Tony Kelly at that stage. Maybe he needed to be come on as a sub. But that's not something that can affect this game. So for me, it's just a simple case of, you know, after the Munster final, Brian Lowen might have said to players, listen, lads, you know, we're disappointed with that. That's not what we're about. We wanted a bigger performance. It's a missed opportunity. You know, send the lads away for a few days there to have a few pints, you know, relax the body, and then reset now for a real hit at the Munster Championship or the All-Ireland Series. And I think where the players will be coming into this is going, maybe looking back to where they were at the league semi-final when they played Tipperary, there was questions over, you know, what do Clare do this weekend? Do they go into it fully aggressive? Do they play a different team because the championship is coming around? They seem to just approach that game as a standalone game with great attitude, great aggression, and performed really well. I think for Clare to reset, that's just what they have to do for this game. They just go out and they say, listen, we go out, we perform really well. We're into an All-Ireland semi-final. We have 2 weeks to prepare. Brilliant. Let's go and do that and see it for the opportunity that it is. And I think mentally it's more important for Clare to reset that way than anything tactically. Because, you know, against Limerick, they were just beaten by the better team. And you can put it down to that some days, you know. So I don't think there's anything drastic to reshuffle here. It's just a reset for Clare and go back at it again.
Anything for you, Skelly, a change?
I honestly believe, I say, the way Clare are structured at the moment, I don't think they're in Ireland. I think they have a problem down the middle. I don't think John Conlon is the player he was 2 years ago. I think they win 2-0 against Limerick, or 2-2 man-to-man against Limerick, which opened up the whole middle.
Okay, not to stop you here, but a few weeks back, you were saying the Conlon at 6 wasn't a concern. What's changed in your mind that you now see him as a weakness?
So when I was looking at John, I thought he had the same legs you know, he still has the same legs. And at the moment, I don't think he has, to be honest. I think he was turned over too much against Limerick. And I think he's become a focal point for Limerick to turn over. And this is not, I'm not trying any slight at the leg, because he's a lovely fella. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, for Clare. But I just think that if Limerick, if you're going to win the Ireland, right, is do we keep the same selection? Do we keep the same personnel in the same positions? And do we play the same way? So I don't think there's any question when you go from numbers 15 back to 8. I think they're pretty all right. My question is how they cover their backs. If they play the same way, they'll be beaten. They're going to have to win the championship. They can be beaten. And if they get to a final, Limerick will beat them. I'm nice. Very, very confident in that.
You're still concerned about their full back line as well, aren't you?
Full back line, 100% full back line.
Yeah.
Because they say, like, the sharp recouts for Clare, let's say, in that full back line is not going to work. Do you know what I mean? They don't have the luxury of what Limerick have in the sense that they can work it out, work from the back. What happens? The team drop out here, Adam Hogan here, clearly have the ball there. Let's say, and what happens? And it just goes up the field. So I think defending the triple cover has become easier, truthfully speaking. I think attacking clear down the middle has become easier, and I think that's what happens too when players get too focused on the opposition. So like you had Dave McInerney on the hip on the sideline beside Hegarty, James Ryan on the hip on the sideline beside Tom Morrissey. And gaping holes up the middle. That's a problem. That's how Shane O'Brien got so many balls. You know what I mean? So I agree completely with Murph about players raising levels and getting up to the pitch of things. But I just think going forward, I would have a slight concern about their structure at the back. And this is not me, you know, pulling pie in the sky. I would have said this repeatedly last year and the year previous, that I see that as a concern, that if they're going to contend, it has to be nearly their focal point, the launch pad. The same thing is the team they're going to have to take down. Their main player right now, whether it be Richard Reid against Kilkenny the way he played last week, or Declan Hand the way he played, you know, that's like formulating the launch pad, and they're always there for cover. So I don't think Clare are at the pitch just yet.
Okay.
That's food for thought for Lohan.
It sure is. Murph, you can have last word on this, because I feel from both of you, you're going for Cork and Clare wins to set up the semi-finals we'd expect would be Kilkenny against Clare and Cork against Limerick. So rather than being boring asking about that, take up Skell's point there. Are Clare vulnerable right down the middle of their team?
They got turned over in the Munster final certainly a few times, and you know, Jez, really good points by Skell there in terms of the observations on it. And like I just thought that Clare coming out with the ball from the back line were quite indecisive anyway against Limerick, and maybe that's down to maybe the points that Skell made there about, you know, maybe Conlon was caught for a yard or two. It's hard to know, but certainly there was indecision there, and that was something I was going at. You know, when you looked at, let's say you looked at Kilkenny and Leinster final, they were snapping balls around, but that kind of play wasn't there from Clare. Like, you know, that running into trouble was a problem against Limerick. Whereas you looked at Limerick and they weren't running into trouble. Now I know people will say Limerick's game plan, they'll swallow you up and they'll suffocate you. They will, but also there was times there where Clare had a ball, there was 5, 6, 10 yards of space, and a little bit of indecisiveness, a little bit of flat-footedness, and they were suddenly caught and they were swallowed up. And, you know, John Conlon was caught once or twice. So there may be a concern there. Who do you move around is the other thing. That's what the question is. But they're not the finished article. No, Clare aren't. Like, and that's it's fair to say that. Like, they do, their defence, we saw it against Limerick up in Ennis. You know, after 60 minutes, huge cracks appeared, and you know they unraveled quite quickly. So you can't turn around and say 100% that the Clare defence is bulletproof at the moment. You can't say that. So until they show us a game where, you know, they really see shored up, and they do have great performances in them, but what Skell was saying there about, you know, there has been indications over the last few years. That is true. There has been indications over the last few years, and we have seen it. So what they do. Geez, I don't know. Do they have other players there to come in? They have it in the forward line. I don't know. Do they have it defensively to really do that? And it would be a big shake up at this time of the year. That's the other thing. It's a big shake up to do that, you know. And let's not forget, either 2 years ago when Conlon wasn't playing centre back, that was nearly the one point people said that was the big game changer. So it's a tough one to call from Brian Lowen's side there.
Well, I like that we've kind of left a little bombshell ahead of the weekend, just right in the very end of the pod. So you have to listen long till the very end, because Skell will go up, you know what, actually, Conlon's in trouble at 6. We'll just stick it in there in the last 2 or 3 minutes. This has been the Hurling Pod. It is with thanks to Borgosh Energy. They're the proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. We will be in Dolan's in Limerick Wednesday night. We can put those points to Podge Collins, who'd probably disagree entirely. We can put them to Sean Oag. Leo Connor's going to be there as well. So we're really looking forward to that. For any of the listeners who are with us now that are able to get in. If you can't, Good news is Thursday afternoon, pending whether Skell's stories are broadcastable or not, by the time that we get to Thursday, we will put up three podcasts and three video podcasts from Dolan's. So consider them your bonus pods for this week. So this is the main pod. We gave you a bonus pod with Owen Cody last week. So I think it's fair enough that they're the bonus pods for this week if you're an OTP member. You're getting loads of hurling. We was tweeting about the other day. You've got Richie Hogan, Jamesy O'Connor on hurling each week at the moment, Anthony Nash on the Off the Ball PM show. That's not including everything that Off the Ball Breakfast are doing around hurling. And all of the launch interviews are there as well. If you're just joining us currently, if you're a member, offtheball.com/join, all the details. You're getting Seamus Flanagan, you're getting Tony Kelly, you're getting Lee Chin. There's just a load of content from last week which is available. There's 32 hurling pods from last week. There's that chat with Owen Cody. Gerard Hegarty is going to be on Off the Ball this week as well. So all that to look forward to. If you're a member, you're getting tons of hurling content and you'll have the stuff from the Roadshow on Thursday. I promise that as well. So Paul Murphy, until we meet up on Wednesday night, thanking you.
Thanks very much, lads.
James Skell, we'll try and filter one or two of your stories through to a tellable version for Wednesday as well.
It's like Balotelli, why always me?
Exactly. Because I trust Murph to, you know, ring the people beforehand and make 100% sure his stories are okay. God knows where your stories are going to go.
Yeah, I just don't care.
Yeah. Which is exactly how we like it. Skell, thanks a million as well.
Cheers, folks.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy.
Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.